Hi everyone. Did you know Tapan and I have another podcast called Cold Brew Money, where we talk about money because your friends and family won't. We try to break down financial concepts like stocks, bonds, ETFs, Bitcoin, how to get started with investing, how to buy a house, mental models, and more. Tapan and I share our financial journey along with our mistakes. We bring in experts in the industry from time to time. It's a great starting point for anyone interested in learning about investments and managing their own money. We wanted to play the first episode that we recorded a few weeks back. If you like it, please consider subscribing to Cold Brew Money podcast. Follow it on Twitter and Instagram at Cold Brew Money. Links to all of those are in the description. All right, here's the first episode of Cold Brew Money.
Hello, hello, hello. These are your hosts, Atit and Tapan, and this is Cold Brew Personal Finance. We are talking about finance because your friends and family want. Hi, Atit, how are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I am good. Are you actually sipping on coffee right now?
No, but I should start doing that from next episode.
Yeah, it should be our thing, right? We are drinking coffee and we are talking about finance.
Sure.
So, Atit, what are we talking about today?
We will talk about personal finance and why it is important, why financial education in general is important, and how it could lead to a better, more fulfilled life, you know?
Okay, that makes sense. Like, I'm excited to hear more. So, how did you start on this journey of financial education and personal finance?
Yeah, so, it's fairly recent, like 2017, around that time, right? I got married in 2017, and I got a serious job at the same time. Before then, I had like pocket money and all of that. Didn't really care about money, how I'm spending it. As long as I'm getting to go out with my friends and all, it was all fine. I didn't really care about it. But then 2017, like I said, I was going to get married. I had a job. And the money was coming in, and I was like, okay, what should I be doing? There's more responsibility and all of that. I decided that I would learn finance and nutrition for 2017. Those are my big goals, right? I never learned anything about nutrition, but I learned a lot about personal finance and investing and all of those interesting stuff. So yeah, that's how I really got into, I didn't know about how to do budgeting or do what are stocks or the bonds or the difference between equity and debt and all of that stuff, and really wanted to know that. And I read this book by Tony Robbins, Money Master the Game. It's a long read. I think the book is about 400-500 pages, but excellent book that changed, how I look at money.
Okay, and then were you reading more books? After that book,
absolutely. So actually, even before Money Master the Game, I read the most popular book that any engineer is recommended when they talk about money, Rich Dad Poor Dad, right? And I think that definitely teaches a very fundamental lesson, which changed how my brain would process wealth. He talks about your job is just a mechanism to convert your time for money. That is not how you would create wealth. For creating wealth, you need to build assets which will generate money even when you're sleeping or you're not working. So that principle changed how I, look at personal finance and money in general. And then I read Tony Robbins' book, and in that there are like bunch of principles. And I like exposure therapy, right? So I didn't know anything about finance, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm going to read the fattest book on this subject, and I will not understand anything. I know that, but I would pick up some important jargon, which if I start Googling and start just researching on my own, I will learn in a much better way than following like a textbook or a course or anything. So I like learning in an unstructured way, and I went about that more about each of those one. So like equities, right? So what are equities? And then I read a book about equity, a course about, a video about equity, podcasts about investments and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how I started. And now I have like a whole system where, you know, like I don't need to go out and learn things. Things come to me in my inbox or in my YouTube recommendations or my podcast app. So.
Okay, so you have a process. That's PC. And regarding registered, poor red, I think like every stoplight in India, like in Mumbai, where you stop, like some hawker is selling registered and poor red, and it's like on Amazon stop number one book for so long. And it's crazy because it has been written such a long time back. I remember my dad, when I was in 7th or 8th grade, he went somewhere and he got the book from the airport, and I did not read it at the time, but even my dad picked it up. So like I feel it's such a common book, and everyone, like it sells everywhere basically. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. So you started your journey in 2017, you were saying. So like my story is very much similar, but I got my job in 2016, right? And before starting like to work full time, I thought, okay, I just graduated, so let's do a month long trip. And I decided to go to California with my friends. So that was a 1 month long trip right after graduation. I got a new Chase credit card. I had around like $15,000 credit limit, and I was like, I'll just spend it because now I'm full time, so I'll be able to pay it down and all that stuff. And I went to California, started from South California, went all the way North California 1 month, then came back to New York, rented an apartment in a skyscraper along the Hudson, looking at New York skyline. Nice. That was so after 2 months of graduation and doing all this, I was in $9,000 debt. Oh my. And yeah, so $9,000 debt, and I was looking at my credit card bill, and you know, like if you don't, like I wouldn't be able to pay $9,000 in a month, right? It does not make sense.
Yeah.
So they started charging interest and stuff like that. And that's when I realized, okay, I need to do something about this. So luckily I had a colleague in office, and I told him like after 3-4 months in, I was like, hey dude, I'm in debt and all that. And he was like, are you like automating stuff? Are you putting money in your savings account? How much debt are you like paying per month and things like that? And then he gave me basic knowledge, and then I started reading and like in going into videos, starting subscribing to newsletters, like yeah, following Reddit posts with Twitter accounts of people who talk about money. Like I read, I think a lot of books, but like my favorite would be I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Amit Sethi, and then The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. They are very much applicable only to US, but like they have knowledge where like you can apply it throughout your life in any country you are in.
Yeah, so, I think a lot of financial concepts are like that.
Right, yeah. So that's what so that's how I started like picking it up.
We are safe to assume that you paid off your debt?
Yeah, I did. I finished it in a year and a half, and then I got a raise, and then like after that it was okay. All savings.
Nice.
And like and when I say all savings, I had my priorities. So I had a goal, but then I also wanted to, because I was in New York, I wanted to live that life. So
yeah,
that
yeah,
was something I was doing on the side.
Yeah. So Tapan, now why are we doing this? Why should people listen to our podcast?
Financial education, I think it's something that is very crucial and applicable throughout your life. And the worst part is no one talks about it. And that's a big issue, and I don't know why no one talks about it. Like I know that whenever you talk about money in India, at least people are like, don't talk about money, nazar lag jayegi, and things like that, which does not make any sense because your life revolves around money for most part.
Yeah.
You get your freedom from money, you can make purchases, you get opportunities with money, and like no one wants to talk about it, which is so annoying. And also like we are never taught about money, or like how do you manage money in our school, colleges, anywhere. And like it should be, before like mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, I think financial education should be taught in schools.
Wow, okay, I've never heard that analogy before, but well done.
Yeah, like I have never used mitochondria as the powerhouse of the cell, like till date, but I remember it so well. I think what should be taught in school is you start early your money compounds, like that should be ingrained in everybody's brain.
Yeah, you're right. Like we are like the three conversation topics that are off the table at a dinner table are like religion, money and politics, right? So we're definitely, I think, hopefully it'll change with generation where it's much more okay to talk about money.
Yeah, dude, like I still don't know what my dad makes, right? Which is very, very bad. Like I should be knowing what is the income that is coming home.
Yeah.
And what, how much should I be spending? Because if you don't have any conversation, there's a miscommunication between the kid and the father. Like the kids think they are well off because the father pays for it, but they don't know how much money their father is making, right? So it is a conversation that is should be mandatory in everyone's house, I think. And even with friends, like I personally am lucky enough to have friends who I can just call and we talk about, hey, what did you buy and how much did you buy it for and like what's your earning and things like that. But like I know a lot of people who are just scared to talk about these things, which shouldn't be the case, because you get more opportunities if you talk about money. That's what I have seen over the years.
Yeah, in my personal experience also, same thing. The minute I start talking about money, there are more people who are willing to talk about it, you know, but no, everyone is afraid to breach that subject. But once the ice is broken, everyone wants to know about it. So I think there's definitely something there. There's a problem that 100%. Needs to be solved. Yeah.
And then when like people talk about money, like their idea of money is very weird. They think money is just what you're earning, like what your income is, what the company is paying you. But like personal finance means like having wealth and not just money. And wealth is something that grows even when you're sleeping.
Yeah. Yep. That very, very powerful concept from Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Even Naval Ravikant, he talks about wealth and he says that like you should seek wealth, not money and status. Wealth is having assets that earn while you sleep, and money is just how we transfer time and wealth. And then status is just your place in the society. It has nothing to do with your wealth or money. And then you're just going to get rich by owning businesses, like owning pieces of business, assets and things like that.
Yeah.
You're not going to be you won't get rich by renting out your time to others. And that is very important, because like more your input, the amount of things that you can do, it's very limited, right? But if you have invested properly and if you have multiple income sources that are generating income passively, then your input is disconnected from how much work you are giving as an output. And that is very important, and that is one of the most important things to generate with. That's what I think.
Also, like I read somewhere that, you know, millionaires have at least 5 different sources of income. So like you said, you can't be renting out your time to 5 different people, right? Because that's not possible. But you need to have all these assets and part of businesses that you own, which will generate income for you.
Right. And yeah, and I think like we don't understand what happens when like your wealth is being generated by itself, like when you're sleeping and the income increases, it gives you more opportunity. That's one thing I've realized. Like if you have money coming in even when you're not working, it gives you, like, you have more choices. You can travel to more places and things like that. And also you can retire early.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, Atit, we have discussed about this earlier. You want to elaborate on that part?
Yeah, the FIRE movement, right? Like it's the...
Right, yeah.
It's almost getting a bad reputation at this point. But FIRE movement was, I think, original. You could argue that it was started by Mr. Money Mustache. Like he retired at the age of 30. He worked probably for like a decade from his 20s to 30s, and he worked as a like software engineer. So he was making good money, and this was like the first wave of software, right? And then in 2011, he's like, "Fine, I'm done. I'm 30. I want to spend time with my family. My like he he was pregnant at the time, so his kid was on the way, and I was like, I want to have a life where I can spend more time with my family than worry about work and next deadline and all of that. And he started blogging about it. Now his blog has like million unique users every single day. But yeah, probably that is one of the most important thing about financially independent retire early movement, right? You have more time for you, for your passion projects.
Do you listen to his podcast? He has a podcast, right? Money, Mr. Money Mustache.
He does? No, I've just subscribed to his newsletter.
Are they good? Are they any good?
Yeah. It's pretty neat. Like he used to write a lot from probably like 2015 to 2018. Now he does like one post a month. But yeah, he's definitely a good starting point. There are a few, like his website has all the posts he has written. And I think he also has like a ranked version of all the posts. So you can read which is the most popular. But I follow him on Twitter, but I don't listen to his podcast yet.
Yeah, I think like even Ramit, he started with a blog as well.
Yeah.
And he grew a newsletter, then he wrote a book.
Yeah.
I think they have, like a lot of people have started from blog.
Yeah.
So Ati, like, how do you start building wills? Like, that's a very important question. And like, how do you start?
Yeah. So building wealth and increasing your income is very different things, right? Like we have been talking about that. Like you can increase your income by getting promotion and all of that. But wealth is something that you have to, you know, it's a slow process, right? It takes time. You invest right now, and then it takes a while before you start seeing the returns. So it's not at least from my perspective, building wealth is not, you know, like buying Bitcoin when it is you know, like when it's the most popular thing, or buying even just buying the most popular thing that is out there. It could be like a penny stock, or it could be
Tesla
Bitcoin or anything. Yeah, like sure, Tesla. So speculation, I think that those are speculation. That's more gambling than building wealth. For me, building wealth is basically having a well diversified portfolio, which gives you income on a regular basis, which you can use to pay off all your necessary expenses. And you don't have to basically work to get that income, right? You've already worked very hard early on in your life. You've invested well. And the compounding, the law of compounding is taking care of you. So if you do it well, you should have, you should start seeing your returns at the later half of your life. You won't see it immediately. You won't see it in a month, 6 months, or maybe even 3 years. So it takes a while. That's something that takes a while for our brains to comprehend also, because compounding is exponential and our brains are wired in a way where we process information linearly and not, and then exponentials are very difficult to understand. And right now, very topical, right? Virus has an exponential behavior. One becomes two, two becomes four becomes eight becomes 16, right? It's not 1, 2, 3, 4. So it takes a while before, if I tell you, right, if the coronavirus would spread, if without the lockdown or anything, if we let it run, it would infect every single person on earth within a month, right? It's impossible. You can't, it's difficult for us to comprehend, but that's how compounding works.
So you're telling me I shouldn't be speculating based on post on Wall Street Bet subreddit?
you probably shouldn't. Yeah. If you want to do it right, if you want thrill in your life, go for it. You should have some fun money lying around. But that is when you're willing to lose that money and you're fine. Don't try to convert that money into your rent money.
Like there was a time where they were speculating so much. I think they moved the cost of Microsoft, like the entire share price. because it was posted on Wall Street Bets, and that was very funny. But you brought up a very important topic, that was compounding. And there was this table that has stuck to my mind when I was reading, like, I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. So the table puts, I'll try to explain the table because, like, verbally, hopefully everyone follows, but the it puts the idea of compounding down so well. So if there was a 25-year-old person who starts putting $100 in their savings account, and the savings account, like the bank, gives them 8%, for example. So the guy who's investing $100, if he starts investing at 25 and he invests only for 10 years and he stops at 35, and when he retires at 65, he removes that money from the savings account, he would have $203,896. So the guy has just invested for 10 years when he was 25. He stopped at 35 and the bank was giving him 8% interest, and he got $203,896. Now, a similar scenario, a guy starts at, guy or girl, starts at 35 and puts $100 in. The person has started at 35, puts $100 in, puts it for 30 years in the same bank account at the same interest rate. When the person retires at 65, the person will have $151,151. So just because the first person started investing at the age of 25, that is 10 years earlier, and the person only invested for 10 years, that person was able to make $50,000 more. And that is mind-blowing. Like, that person only invested for a shorter period of time and got more money because of compounding.
Yeah, wow. That's, yeah, exactly. That is the power of compounding. Just time is the, in the compounding system, right? The time component is the most important one. And if we give our investments enough time to run, you could start seeing, the power take care of you, the compounding take care of your financial life.
Yeah. And then, like, I talked about savings account, so I feel like there are so many misconceptions, and this reminded me of that. Like, people just think personal finance, so when they earn money and they will just put it into their savings account. Now, savings account in US, like, if you're putting your money in a Chase or Bank of America, they pay you 0.01%,
yeah,
which is nothing. Like, I have like around $10,000 in my account and I haven't earned any interest right now. It is like crazy. Like, it is so minimal. So people just think that if they put their money in the account, it will increase, but their interest rates are low. Plus, they don't consider inflation. Yeah. You know what's the inflation rate in US right now?
Yeah, it's about 2%.
So 2%. So they are getting like 0.01%. Yeah. In their bank account, and the inflation rate is 2%. So they are actually losing the power of their money that is in, like, in the account, because money essentially is like what product, like the cost of product that you can buy using something that is your money, exactly. So yeah, they are actually losing their purchasing power, which they don't realize.
Yeah. The inflation has, you know, weird that inflation is also exponential, right? So even you might not notice it in a year, 2 years, 5 years, but it definitely cuts your money in half by the time you start working. And by the time you retire, if you don't invest, your money, purchasing power of your money is less than half. That's how the math works. If you don't do anything, if you put the money inside your mattresses, right, and don't do anything, you're not earning any interest on it, you're basically losing the purchasing power every single day.
Yeah, like, but instead, if you buy gold and then put it under a tree, that might still have value.
Yeah, as long as you don't forget where you,
yes, yeah. Have you seen Parks and Rec? I don't know if you've seen Parks and Rec. Ron, yeah, Swanson has his entire like dug up under a tree.
Yeah, I mean, gold is fine. Like, I'm not a big fan of gold as an investment, but we'll talk about that in the later episodes.
One more thing that, like, one more misconception that people have is with banks and credit cards. They feel like banks are always cheating. They are, but they are a business as well. So if you manage them as a business, and if you understand how the banking system works, how your credit cards work, how your credit score is affected, what things affect your credit scores, you will be better able to game, for the lack of word, the whole system, and you will be able to get better interest rates, you will be able to get better loan rates and stuff like that. And that is why like financial education is important as well. And then the one last misconception that I wanted to talk about was people giving off their money to their parents to manage. What's your thought about that, Atit?
Yeah, so giving your money to your parents is fine. As long as you know what they're doing with your money, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be your parents. If you give money to your financial advisor also, make sure you're asking them the questions so that you know what their plan is for your money. Also, what they are currently doing, what is the value of your money, what is the value of your portfolio. And it's very easy these days for them to send reports, or maybe they even have like an app that you can use to track, right? Let them make the decisions for you, but make sure you're following it closely and you're asking them the necessary questions. They'll be more than happy to tell you why. And if they don't, they're very scared of telling you why, or they are avoiding the questions, that's a red flag you might want to reconsider.
Yeah, definitely. And it's your money, first of all. So like, even if you're giving it, like you should understand where it's going, and there should be a part of the money that you should be managing by yourself as well, because I think that's very important in your later life as well, because there will be a point of time when you will have to do those things. And if you don't know what's happening or how, where the money was invested and things like that, things can get really, really difficult. To summarize what we said, we are talking about money because no one talks about it. A lot of people have misconceptions about money, and they don't understand how the banking systems work or how credit card scores are affected and things like that. And an important part is wealth is how you will have financial freedom. And we want to discuss how wealth is generated. So Atit, what should the listeners expect from this podcast?
Yeah, we'll talk about different aspects of investments, different components, like what are equity, what are debt, what is shares, what are bonds, what are moats, how to value a company, how compounding actually works. We will also talk about personal finance tools, like how to budget, how to build a process, how to automate your finances so that your life is easier.
Yes, that sounds exciting. So we will be covering a lot of topics over the next few weeks, months, years.
Mistake.
Yeah. Yes. So that's about it from us. See you next week.